John 1, verse 9, speaking of Jesus, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Joshua Bell, world-famous violinist, came out of the metro in Washington, D.C., and he positioned himself against a wall beside a rubbish bin. By most standards, he didn't stand out at all. A youngish white man in jeans, long-sleeved t-shirt, a Washington Nationals baseball cap on. From a small case, he removed the violin. Placing the open case at his feet, he shrewdly, as they do, threw in a few dollars, a bit of pocket change, seed money, and began to play. For the next 45 minutes, in the D.C. Metro, January the 12th, 2007, Joshua Bell played Mozart and Schubert as over 1,000 people streamed by, most hardly taking any notice. If they had paid attention, they might have recognized the young man for the world-renowned violinist that he is. An awesome talent that has performed with almost all of the world's major orchestras and conductors. They might also, had they stood around for a little while and watched what was going on, noted that the violin that he was playing that day was a rare Stradivarius worth over $3 million American dollars. It was made in 1713 during what is known as Antonio Stradivarius' golden era. That violin had been stolen twice from a previous owner. The last time the thief confessed to the act, when he was lying on his deathbed. And on a former occasion, Joshua Bell had held and he played the violin, and the person who owned it at that time had jokingly told him that the violin can be yours for a nice handy fee of $4 million. Shortly after this, people would say almost by chance, that Bell came across the violin again. He discovered it was about to be sold to a German industrialist to become the part of his own private collection. And according to the Joshua Bell website, Bell was practically in tears at the thought of this precious violin not going to be used but just forming a part of a collection. He reportedly sold his current Stradivarius, the Tom Taylor, for a little more than $2 million, made the purchase of this new violin for a little under the $4 million asking price. His appearance that day as a street busker in Washington, D.C. metro was all part of a curious experiment arranged by the Washington Post newspaper. They were saying it's an experiment in context, perception, and priorities, as well as an unblinking assessment of public taste. They have him there and they're saying he's in a banal setting at an inconvenient time, and they're asking, would beauty transcend? Will people recognize what it is? They didn't. A world-class violinist playing top music on a $4 million instrument. Only one person out of the over 1,097 people, to be exact, who screamed past Joshua Bell that day at the metro, recognized him. Not many stopped by to listen. Just 3 days earlier, it had been such a different story. Joshua Bell had sold out Boston's Symphony Hall with ordinary seats that night going for $100 American, but in the Washington subway for 45 minutes playing all of this brilliant music, he garnered $32 from 27 people who stopped long enough to give a donation. I remember hearing an old song, a kind of a quirky gospel piece that asked the question, would they know him, that is, Jesus, in Shreveport today? That song could be referring to Shreveport, Los Angeles, or more likely, given the southern sound of the song, Shreveport, Louisiana. The third largest city in the U.S. state of Louisiana, the 99th largest city in all of the United States. Would they know him in Shreveport today if Jesus should come along? I'm not sure that the question should be, would they know Jesus there? Would they recognize him there? I think it's more, would they want him? Jesus has come into our world. When he came, he struck up the symphony of amazing grace. He came to save the lost, to offer his life a sacrifice for sin, coming under the fury of man and the judgment of God as he stood in our place. He gave forgiveness, light, life that is everlasting to those who place their trust in him. In John 1, verses 4, 5, 11, verse 10 as well, we have spelled out for us an early reaction to Jesus' appearance. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It's all negative. It's like the violinist. He's there, he's playing this amazing music. Nobody virtually knows who he is. And with Jesus he comes, he didn't recognize him, nor did they want him. And people don't want him any more today than they did back then. Even at this Christmas time, many people are frantically pressing the eject button to get Jesus out of Christmas. A website based in Florida runs under the title National Keep Christ Out of Xmas Committee. And you know about these reports that constantly are whirling around about schools who have banned Christmas carols. It's politically correct not to have them. Barbara Walters, American journalist, TV personality, expressed dismay recently that President Bush in the first leading sent out a religious Christmas card from the White House with a Bible verse, 7 lines out of the Old Testament, printed on the card. Intriguingly, the same lady had no such qualms about receiving another Christmas card from Elton John and his sodomite partner David Furnish that had angels on the cover. Does the way we live our lives say that we could be part of this unholy amalgam to censor Christ out of Christmas? Have we spared a thought for him at this time of year? I'm not talking about a tear of sympathy for a tiny babe with no home that he can call his own. But in sparing a thought for him, I'm talking about a solemn consideration that he is no longer today a babe in his mother's arms, supported by her, not able to support himself, but that he is today the mighty God, the King of the universe, the one who offers salvation now. But should we walk on by, ignore him, refuse him? We'll be standing at the end of our time upon the earth, or at the end of time itself. He will be standing as our judge. My question to your heart tonight is this: have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing that heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. He is the only way to heaven. Jesus came to show us, in fact, he came to be the way to heaven. And so we read in the final verse of our text, verse 12 of John 1, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Will it be no recognition of who he is? No room for him in our hearts and lives? Or will it be, I receive him as my only Savior, who died in my place, who came to Bethlehem for me, walked Galilee, Judea for me, went to the cross for me, died for me. Him, by God's grace, I receive.